Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, Wake Up Hollywood. Brian, that the rooster kind of startled you.
It did. It startles me every time. I always forget that
the rooster made you jump your chair. Like, literally, like, you had a cartoon reaction. You're like,
I always forget the sound of. I forget the sound effects are very, very featured here.
Oh, they're crucial, man.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, the rooster that had me took me for a loop. I thought I was listening to the beginning of that one Beatles song.
You're like, oh my God. The Beatles are here. How have you been? I see you're wearing a Star Wars t-shirt. Let's talk.
Oh, I am. You know what?
Are you excited?
I hate wearing the Star Wars
t-shirt. Why? Why? How could you say that? Take it back.
Like, listen, I love Star Wars so much, as we always talk. It's got Death Star on it.
Yeah.
And it says Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I love Star Wars and the Death Star and everything associated with it. But everywhere I go, now I'm in a conversation where, oh, that's a great shirt.
What's not to like about that? Yeah, it's a conversation piece.
Yeah. When I'm out and trying to get through my sludgery of a day, like getting my groceries and doing whatever I need to do, I don't need to be stopped by random people. And
well, then you know what? Let me give you a suggestion. Why don't you keep it in the closet and just wear it as your pajama shirt?
Well, that might be what I do.
You know, maybe, because really,
I thought
honestly,
maybe wearing it here would be
that doesn't
safe.
Sound like a Star Wars fan. Our studio audience is pissed.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, as we know. I usually have my earbuds in, listen to whatever, and I'm not looking for a conversation. This is like a
listen.
I wear very plain shirts.
As a Star Wars fan, we are always looking for a conversation
about
Star Wars.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, I'll come here to talk to you about that. I don't want to talk to the guy.
Well, have you seen the new? Have you seen?
I did from Comic-Con. I saw
the video.
Yeah, the video.
Did you see it on my page or did you just see it on YouTube?
No, I saw it on Twitter.
Because I wanted to see it like so much more than just what they showed. It
yes,
was like
and
such
but
a
I that was what I wanted to see because they talk about that they're using practical effects. No, not all that CGI that ruined those. I mean, that wasn't the only thing that ruined those episodes.
Well, they're going back to the roots. They're going
exactly.
back to having Muppets.
Real models and Muppets like that. Like it. Like George Lucas really sucked
Muppets
and models and practical effects.
What's not to like?
What's not to like? But yeah, like. Lucas sucked the soul out of Star Wars when he made those.
Let me be honest. Okay, there are a lot of Star Wars fans.
They weren't even in like a set. Everything was green.
Yeah,
screen.
There's
like,
some
there
Star Wars fans that are
there.
Like, there's so many Star Wars fans that are like outraged by the first three movies. I'm not completely outraged by them, but I see your points. I do see your points. Like, he should have just gone with what he knew. But imagine if you were in his shoes and you had the technology to do all these crazy things.
You'd be like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah,
but you know what? He already had that when he revamped, when they re-released
Howard
the original.
The Duck? I mean,
No, Howard the Duck rules. When they re-released the original Star Wars episode 4, 5, and 6 in the theaters and they added all those stupid effects, they looked
so
out of place.
That's true.
Like, that was his opportunity to be a kid in a candy store. Oh my God, I can do all the stuff that I couldn't do anymore.
I don't even know who we've talked about this, but did you know Disney's re-releasing the old ones?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
They're re-releasing the old ones.
That's what I need. So,
and you were the first person I thought of.
Yes, thank
because
you.
Because I know you were like, I can't believe George Lucas is not going to release. But you had a point. I totally get it.
You can have your other shitty versions, but like, I just at least give me the option
original.
To have the original and see it how I remember seeing it.
I agree.
I was 3 years old.
I totally agree.
So, you know, you know.
But the new ones are going to, I think they're going to be pretty kick-ass.
Look, it looks awesome. I like what J.J. Abrams did with the Star Trek series.
I'm not so even far. A Trekkie. I'm a Trekkie, I was like so into those movies.
Yeah, you don't have to be. Yeah, my wife loved them, and she doesn't give a shit about any of that. But I'm not wearing this shirt anymore. I don't care what... What conversation we had. I'm just going to wear it inside out.
Well, that's just, the story. You know what? I'm going to have to gong that last statement.
All right.
How have you been, man? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, no, great. I'm tomorrow night I'm going to see John Fogerty at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow. Yes. That's a big one.
I'm very excited. I listened to him growing up. Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I've seen him. I saw him at Bonnaroo, and he does not disappoint.
Still sounds good.
Still sounds great.
Yeah, he's
got the pipes.
If somebody asks me, like, what voice is rock and roll to you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
John Fogerty, he's got that.
You're going to love him, too. He runs like 6 miles a day. Like,
wow.
He keeps his voice and his body in like great shape so that he can perform for people like you that may have not seen him yet.
Never seen him. And he's like on my list. I'm like, before this guy retires, like, I missed Johnny Cash. I didn't get to see him before he.
I wish I saw Johnny Cash.
Before he left us. And there's a few others. Yeah, I have gotten to see Willie Nelson. So there's these guys who are getting up there who are going to retire. Sometime soon, or die.
When I played Bonnaroo, he was one of the performers that was playing, I think, the day before us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed with him. And we got to see Willie Nelson on the stage.
He's fantastic.
I got to watch him on the stage, and then afterwards I got to meet him, which was pretty insane. But John Fogerty, I mean, he's a classic voice. He's going to be... There was a great show last night that I missed, Steely Dan and Elvis Costello.
I saw that.
Was that last night?
Yeah.
I'm going to see Van Halen in September.
I would love to see them.
October.
Are they going to, like, they might not make it. Like, they've tried to tour.
To God, and they make it. I got to see Eddie Van Halen once in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, all of them are just, like, I would like to see all of them.
I feel like this is the year of, you better see this artist before they're done.
Right.
Like, I saw the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
That was kind of disappointing, got to be honest.
Really?
I love Trey.
From everything that I saw... Which is, everybody is like huge deadheads, so they're not going to say anything negative. So I would like.
I'll give you the honest thing.
Yeah, I got to hear the honest.
I love Fish.
Sure.
But when they do their space jams,
uh-huh.
It just loses me. I'm just like, this is just. It's like having a conversation with somebody that makes no sense. And the Grateful Dead, I'd never seen them before. And what they did, they have so much good music. Like, I'm such a diehard fan. I've got so many records of theirs. I'm a huge fan of their records, and I'm a huge fan of their songs.
Right.
I love when they jam on their songs.
Right.
The first set was all songs. It was so bitchin'.
Yeah.
The second set was like a mixture of, like, you know, kind of B-sides. But they did literally a 2.5-hour version of Space with like drum solos and stuff, and like,
wow,
you know, that to me it's not where it's at for me. It's like, they've got great songs.
Yeah,
I want to hear them jam out on those songs.
Sure.
They basically over 5 concerts split their amazing set of songs into 5.
Spread it out.
So like,
they have,
I would
so
have
many
rather
songs. Why do they need to
I know
do that? They
I know
everything. They could play everything.
They could have played, they could have made like this each show like unbelievable and had special guests from all the years show up at each different show.
I mean, you're playing in LA,
it
so
would have been amazing. I was secretly hoping Branford Marsalis would show up.
Yeah,
he didn't, but that's okay. I mean, having Bruce Hornsby there, and he only took one solo the whole show that I saw.
Mm.
Trey was great. I mean, it's just like a different collection of musicians.
So is Trey playing sort of like the Jerry licks?
He's totally doing all the Jerry stuff. Nice. And he's singing, too.
Okay.
He wasn't singing as much, but, you know, it was cool. I'm glad I saw him.
Yeah.
Like, I did. I saw them because I've been wanting to see them for 20 years.
Right.
And I realized, wow, without Jerry, this is a totally different band. You know, it's just not the same.
I wouldn't want to go see it. Like, I'm not a huge Grateful Dead fan.
Right.
I love Jerry Garcia. Like, I got into more of his solo stuff.
Yeah, solo stuff.
The bluegrass
great.
Stuff,
yeah.
The stuff he did with Grisman and Tony Rice. And
I love all those records.
All those
folk
are great. Stuff.
Those are great.
Like, that stuff, and his voice is just so unique and so like kind of delicate.
His soloing's so
and
unique
his solo's
too.
And his solo is great. Yeah, you
but
know
it's
when
just,
you're
you know
Jerry,
like
so.
I love the band. I totally get it, and I'm still always going to be a fan of the Grateful Dead. But to see them and not hear so many epic songs that I've been waiting 20 years to hear.
Right.
That's part of the Dead allure, though. You like, you don't get to hear all the songs you want. You
but
know what
wait,
I mean?
Because of your last tour or whatever, your 50th tour, you just
that's
play
what
it.
I was thinking.
You're
I was
not,
like,
you're not
they're
there.
Just going to put on the most insane 5 shows.
Yeah.
And like, if I missed one or two songs, that'd be okay.
Right.
You know, but I literally missed probably like 15 or 20 songs I would have killed to hear.
You know who did it right, though? I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan.
Of course.
But when they closed out the Spectrum in Philly, the last four events before they tore down the Spectrum, which is a legendary arena in Philadelphia, they did four nights in a row, the last four events there. And they just said, we're just going to play everything we've ever known.
That's awesome.
So every single night, I went to three of the four nights. Every single night was completely different songs. They pulled out stuff from
the vaults,
things that were on B-sides import CDs.
But they also played they always deliver with their big songs.
They do.
I've never been to a Pearl Jam show where they didn't play at least seven songs you've been wanting to hear, even if you've heard them before, or from a big record.
Right.
And that's what I love about a band like that. That's why I keep seeing them, because they always give you what you want.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, if I go see Van Halen for the first time ever in my life, and I don't hear hear at least three of those huge songs that I'm just dying to hear, I'm going to walk away thinking, that was kind of disappointing. And, you know, it was great to see the Dead. I'm very happy I got to see him. I was there.
What was the scene like?
It was beautiful,
like your section?
There was a lot of people holding roses, because that's like one of their emblems.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot of color in the people, like not as far as like black, white, but everybody was wearing Deadhead shirts or like crazy outfits. So it was a super fun environment.
Right.
I just I literally drove 6 hours or 5.5 hours there and drove back the same night.
Oh man!
So it was just like, I'm gonna do this because I have no time to do it, and I just have to see them.
Yeah,
and it was amazing to see them, but it just wasn't the show that I was I guess not expecting, but hoping for. You know what I mean?
So you're not that grateful.
I was grateful. I'm grateful that I saw him. Okay. You know, but it made me realize, man, Jerry Garcia really was the band.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But you know, I am grateful
that's
for seeing them.
Yeah,
And that's that. So there's. I think our special guest has arrived.
See, that one didn't scare me as much as the chicken.
Well.
No, don't.
That one scared you.
No.
Miss Alexa Fair, how are you? Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
I did. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
You introduced yourself to our special co-host of the evening.
She did.
Yes, I did. Outside.
Isn't he handsome?
We did a whole interview already.
You did?
I could leave now.
Oh, yeah, you missed it.
I could leave now. I did my work.
Seriously, don't get the studio audience upset again.
Sorry.
All right?
They're going to start throwing things.
So, Alexa Fair, how are you? How did you get into music? Tell us what was the thing that inspired you to be a musician.
First of all, I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well. I've been singing my entire life since I can remember. I think I was like 6 or 7 when I started singing. I would perform in front of my family in like my diaper and just always like singing. And
Brian still does that. I'm just kidding.
Hey, look.
I mean, whatever he does behind closed doors.
Behind closed
it is what it is. It is what it is.
It's not for public knowledge.
No, I mean, like I was always singing. Music was always a part of my life, and I got to a certain age where I started being involved in local singing competitions, and my mom put me in some theater work as well. And then I started getting into acting as well. And what happened was my acting agency at the time back in Toronto, because that's where I'm from.
Oh, you're Canadian?
Yeah, I'm Canadian.
I'm Canadian. Well, I'm not really Canadian, but I was born in Canada. So I'm technically Canadian.
I already knew that because I did the interview before the show.
Oh, well then, shoot. I'm just like crossing over information.
What kind of songs did you, when you were like 7 years old, like what were you singing? Like what was your
I was singing
stuff?
Like Whitney Houston and Kelly Clarkson. Uh-huh. Like those kind of songs.
Wow, you were
like,
7 years old when Kelly Clarkson was.
She also did this one. This is a big favorite. When she was a little baby. We all did that one.
It sounded beautiful. But no, my agency brought me out to LA for this talent convention. I did both acting and singing, and then I got scouted by a few agencies and indie labels. And then I started working in LA, coming back and forth, traveling for over 5-6 years. And then, been working with different producers and building my way up there, and now I'm here.
And here you are on
here
Wake
I
Up
am.
Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
all been a culmination to get you right here.
Exactly.
That's what it. That's
the
what it's
very moment.
That's where it's at.
what like when you first start, you know, singing, you know, in public, and when you first start getting traction, what's the plan? Like, what do you? How do you envision the future going? Like, because the music business is kind of different today. Like, is it still?
I'm just kidding. Is it I'm still just kidding. Keep going. Keep going.
No, I'm leaving.
No. It's a good question.
Is the goal still to like get with a big record company? Like, because people don't even buy albums anymore. Is the goal to That's make a full good. Album? Is it to get a single or something in between?
I think it's definitely important for me to put out a body of work that I'm proud of and.
Good answer.
Yeah, that I'm proud of and also that will last a long time. Because I find that a lot of artists nowadays just put out singles. And yeah, that might be doing well for you, but that just lets you be current.
Well, you know
right,
what?
Right in this
think,
moment. That's
I think
not
one
promising.
Of the biggest things about I think the flaws in the industry.
Right.
So many labels are pushing songs.
Yeah.
And my favorite like music that I listen to are artists. You know what I mean? So it's like I listen to an artist's story in an album. You know what I mean? So I think that's just like – it's just commercialism.
Yeah.
They're just trying to show –
Do you think there's
like,
any chance of that coming back around, like the idea of the album, of a concept?
I definitely think that a lot of artists are still trying to do that. Like Beyonce did that last year when she came out with that album. It was a body of work. She didn't necessarily come out with singles. Mm. And she also said that – it was like I'm gonna remember that for the rest of my life. She said that she wanted to kind of bring back how it was in Michael Jackson days, how the family would literally sit around the TV and wait for
the record
to come out, and it was a story. It was a whole entire body of work, and I find that a lot of artists nowadays don't really pay attention to them. They just want whatever's hot right now.
The wham bam.
But there are a lot of artists that definitely stay true to themselves and definitely.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a hardball question.
Ooh.
What was my question?
Well, yours was like
you said that was a
good
question.
Let's put your toes in the water.
She said that was a good answer when she said the answer, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's because that was.
It was cool. It was cool. Well, I'm gonna ask you. You know, actually, I don't think I've ever asked like a new artist this question. But what sets you apart? What sets you apart from everybody else? Like, why should our listeners and why should these two handsome and charming co-hosts of each other? Why? What makes you different?
Well, especially being in the industry at this time right now, I think that just me staying true to who I am and the music that I grew up with and the morals that I have, I think that definitely sets me apart from most of the artists nowadays. And I don't ever try to be like anyone else. Like, I don't dress the same as other people. I don't try to sound the same or make the same kind of music as other people. I don't know.
That was a magical answer. I'll approve that. That was good. That was good. No, I mean, it's the funny thing is, like, with pop music and commercialism, it's like everything's trying to be generic. You know, it's like, oh, we need to have the next Sam Smith. Oh, we need to have the next. I heard this new artist named Leon Bridges. Have you heard of him?
Uh-uh.
He's like a new like soul artist. Mm. And like literally they're saying he's the next Sam Cooke. And I'm like, why do we need another Sam Cooke? Right. I want somebody new. I love Sam Cooke. Yeah. There's never going to be another Sam Cooke, so don't put that label on.
You know
on,
what? I always wonder that too, because sometimes when you know, the other times I've been in here and, you know, you might say like, oh, that sounds like this mixed with that. Like, do you like, does that happen to you? Does somebody say, oh, you're a combination of this and that, of this person and that person? Do you ever get that?
Honestly, no one has ever compared me to another artist for my music. I get... A lot of people say I look like a couple actresses, and I always get Ariana.
You totally
Grande.
Hesitated. You're like, oh, okay, that's good. That's
no, because I couldn't remember who it was.
You like they say that I look like some people.
No. I always get compared to Ariana Grande because I'm white.
Right.
And I'm tiny.
It's a good start.
Wait a minute.
Yep, also, that
you're white.
Right. I was white. I mean, not on the inside. Don't link it in.
We're all white on the
inside. Right. But, I mean...
Ooh, our studio audience got a little heated over
I'm
there.
Gooey and bloody on the inside.
Why'd you have to take it there?
Sorry.
Because
that's science.
Somebody got scared.
Yeah.
But, okay, so who are your biggest influences?
I grew up listening to, like, a lot of urban artists.
Like?
Aaliyah... Whitney Houston, like I said before, Michael Jackson, which was
hell yeah,
urban pop.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey as well. Brandy. Brandy was like a big one for me.
Forgot
and then
about
JoJo too. JoJo was actually funny story, I met her a few weeks ago at this event in Hollywood, and I went up to her and almost like fangirled.
Oh my god!
I
love you.
I've met a lot.
So what did you do though?
Oh my god! I went up to her and all I didn't even like introduce myself. I was just like, thank you. And she was like,
what?
Yeah, she was like, oh.
She's like, what did I give you?
I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, she's the reason that I started taking music seriously.
Why? What was it about her?
Like, I was always singing my entire life, but when I first saw her come out with Leave, that song that she came out with, I saw her on the TV doing her music video, and I was just like, I want to be exactly like her. You're like,
that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it. It was done.
You and Brian have that in common.
Actually. I do. Yeah. Actually, I was more like a Whitney Houston. I wanted to be like.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you're not far, Brian.
No. We both have boobs.
Well, she doesn't. You both have the same hairstyle and the same wardrobe. Right, right. But different heels.
Yeah. Right.
She always looked good in that Star Wars shirt.
Right.
So, how many records have you released?
I've put out, I believe, 3 or 4 singles in the past couple years. I put out an EP 2 years ago, and then a mixtape, and now I'm working on my new EP.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Wow, busy woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell us, like, how you made the transition from the acting to the music. What was that like?
Like I said, music was always a part of my life. Acting kind of came second. It was more of like, oh, let me just try this out because, you know, everyone's a triple threat. But I ended up really liking it because I did dancing as well. I was in competitive for 9 years. So you kind of did have to.
You and Brian really have a lot in common.
Right? You kind of have like, to know a little bit.
We're almost the same person.
Basically, I should just ask him the questions because we have the same answers.
We are basically the same person so far. Yeah.
Yes.
So you were dancing competitively, and then you got into acting.
Yes.
And then you always wanted to be a musician and sing. Do you play any instruments?
No. And I regret that.
You know what? Now's the time to start.
Right?
I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
Do you have an instrument that you think you would want to play?
Besides xylophone?
Yeah. Right? Piano.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I always wanted to play piano.
Yeah. I mean, my parents put me in piano lessons when I was younger, but
you quit.
Look at me right now. I can't even sit still. That's exactly why I quit.
You're like, I can't sit. No. Well, it's also, a lot of it, it's like, I started with piano as well, and my parents made me take classical lessons.
I think everyone's parents just, like, forced them.
They're just like, you need to do this.
Right.
And you need to do classical music.
You're going
to
become a superstar.
Yeah, and most kids have so much energy, they're like, oh my God, why am I listening to classical music?
I can never sit still.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. So most kids quit. I quit. I came back to it because of the Beatles, and now I can play.
I love the Beatles.
And, you know, it was the Beatles that made me want to play piano. I was like, oh my God, you can do this on piano instead of like Mozart and Bach?
Right.
Oh, okay, I'll come back for that.
Right.
But yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Let's get to performance. Why don't we gonna sing for us?
Sure.
All right, so we'll just start it.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, and here it goes. Right? Yeah.
Something in the milk ain't even clean. Yeah.
times I walked away, all the times I wish today that you love me. But I get up and I love you. But I get up and I love you. But I get up and I love you. I see the boyfriend for a rainy day. I love you. But I get up and I love you. But I get up and I love you. I see the boyfriend for a rainy day. Sitting down,
I was about to ask you, is it weird for you to be sitting in a chair in a little room in front of two stupid guys with a microphone?
Hey, one
stupid guy. Mickey.
No, it's not weird, but it's just a little bit harder to sing while you're
singing. You're the first artist that's actually come in and sang to a track.
Really?
So I thought that was interesting, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've never actually seen that in a live performance.
Well,
I mean,
I've seen it. Most people have, like, a...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's not a bad thing. Don't worry about it. I think it's cool, actually. Like, because you basically have to mix yourself live, like, based on the track, which I was like...
True.
And you were, like, swaying from side to side. I was like, I want to just hold her and love her.
Right. Well, you were moving her microphone very...
I did. You didn't notice. Your eyes were closed. Yeah. But your microphone was right here, and I was like, I'm going to help her out.
Oh, no, because, see like, when I go higher, I tend to just move back.
I know that trick.
Right?
You'll hear the first, like, 5 seconds.
Well, because I don't know how you
sounded like you were in a well, like, hello. Help me. Sounded great.
Thank really you. Excellent.
That's not an easy thing to do, just to do a live performance, vocal dry, with just a track, and deliver the way you did. And
thank you.
You shut us out. You closed your eyes. I was like, hello, hi, we're still here.
Right?
But sometimes you have to do that so you can set your own environment. You're like, I'm in a stadium.
That's
so
why he was like, oh, is it weird? No, I just closed my eyes and I'm
right. So,
I'm in my own little world
right
now.
What happens up there when you're singing anywhere, you know?
I don't even know. I just feel like I'm completely by myself in my own little world when I'm singing.
Mm. You're just monkeying around in your mind. Did you write that song?
I co-wrote it, yeah.
You co-wrote it with your producer? Is it?
This production and writing team called The Invaders. They did most of my first EP and the mixtape, and then they did this song.
Cool. How did you link up with them?
One of my old managers that I'm not with anymore will not speak
on that. You broke it. You're like, we're done.
I mean, every bad situation comes up with a good situation. Yeah. I met them, and we started working together a couple years ago. I met them in L.A., but they're based out of Houston, and I would fly back and forth from L.A., Toronto, Houston, and just work with them on creating a bunch of songs, and then we came out with the EP, and then I wanted to work with them again for the mixtape, and they're just really amazingly talented people and just genuine, which is very hard to find in this industry.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
I have met many a fake person in this industry.
You've been
for
at it a long time.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. Yeah.
What goes wrong with? I mean, I don't want to ask you specifics, but like, what goes wrong with a manager? I'm not in this world, this business at all. I'm just like a dude who like does regular stuff. Like, what could go on? What could go wrong?
I mean, there's different things for everyone.
Sorry.
Right, just chop them off.
Right.
That could be a problem.
I mean, a lot of people in this industry just promise you things that... Mm.
That they can't deliver. Let's just say it.
It doesn't mean that they don't have good intentions. A lot of them do have good intentions, but they can't necessarily do the things that they said they would do.
Mm. Interesting.
And other people are just out for your money.
They're
and that's
just sharks.
It.
Well, a lot of it, I think it's my brother always, he talks about this all the time. He's like, the industry preys on young artist dreams.
Yeah.
It's like, this person wants to be like an artist playing stadiums or, you know, reaching people. And the industry gives a lot of false promises.
Of course.
Managers do that probably more than anybody. Mm. And agents do that too. Mm. And promoters. Like those guys. I mean, agents are probably like more behind the scenes that they don't usually do that as much. But managers and promoters, all day long, they will promise things that they can't deliver.
Right. Yeah.
That's where the problems come up, you know?
They can talk a big game a lot of times, I guess.
They can talk a big game. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people...
I know this person. I can get you signed. I can get you on this tour.
Yeah, it's so...
Okay.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
So then everyone would be famous.
So just to like take you back a couple weeks. Well, actually, I'm going to take you back a couple years. Okay. So I played this huge event in San Diego, at San Diego State, right? Mm-hmm. And this gentleman comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, Chuck D is my son-in-law. And I just was blown away by you guys, and I'm going to tell them about you." You know how many times you hear stuff like, you know, you're like, "Cool, thanks." You know, it's great.
Yeah.
2 days later, I get an email from Chuck D, right? And he's like, "Yo, my father-in-law told me all about you. Whoa. I've looked you up. I've seen you on bills. No. We played some of the same festivals. Yada, yada, yada." For 2 years, he and I have been emailing.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, I played a huge festival with the Rolling Stones and Stevie Wonder and did this huge thing. And Public Enemy was playing the stage over, right? Mm-hmm. They happened to be staying at our hotel. So we go back to the hotel, and Chuck D was there along with Flava Flav and the whole Public Enemy crew. I walked up to him. I'm like, "You and I have been emailing for 2 years." He's like, "What's your name?" I'm like, "Nikhil Karula." He's like, "My father-in-law keeps talking about you guys."
That is crazy.
So he gave me his cell phone number, and he's like, you know... But those are the rare occurrences because there's for every one of those instances, I probably had about 2,000, 3,000 times where people are like, "Oh my God, my dad is so and so, or my friend is so and so," and you're like, "Cool, awesome," and you're like, you're smiling on the inside or on the outside, I should say.
I don't believe anyone, until they.
Well, that's what you want. You want to give It's like I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but most people you find in this industry are full of shit because they're just telling you that because they want to let's some ulterior motive, something, whether it's financial or whatever it is.
A lot of managers will be like, "Oh, well, you're not really making too much money right now, so pay me this amount, and then once you start making money, then we'll
oh, all my
just...
God.
Right. So anytime that you have to pay in up front, like, you should just run the other direction.
Yeah, because the manager's only supposed to make...
But you know what? At the same time, it's like the industry is such... It's in such an upheaval that you're like, well... What are your credits? Like, who have you broken? Talk to me about things that you've done. You investigate.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, they can do something for one person, but they can't do the same for the next. I mean, there's so many factors, but the thing is, there's so many broken promises and broken dreams, unfortunately. Yeah. But
this sounds like a good song. Let me try. Broken promises and also broken dreams.
Sorry.
Sorry, I was trying to be musical.
Well, let's talk about your record real quick. What are we going to play? What's the first song? What was the name of that song real quick? That's your single, right?
Yeah, that's the current single. It's called Saved a Boyfriend. I co-wrote that with The Invaders. And the next song that I think... on there is called No Good, and that was also written it was also written and produced by The Invaders.
Alright, this is Alexa Fair.
My favorite guy, yeah, you know you're running out of time. Remind me of a song.
Yeah! Our studio audience loved it! Hey, hey, hey! Sorry.
It made them take a break from throwing things at me, so that was...
That's true.
That was a relief.
You know, I think they just expect the host to wear pants when they do the show.
Well, now you tell me.
Let's not expose him.
Come on.
I'm just kidding. He already exposed himself.
Like 3 times already.
All right, so let's talk. That was such a cool track.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your background. I got word. I heard through the grapevine that you used to do some stuff for Disney.
Yes.
So what did you tell us a little bit about that and what that experience was like for you?
Well, I've worked with a couple of the actors and singers on Disney, and I was actually an extra on that movie Camp Rock 2, which is funny because I used to be obsessed with the Jonas Brothers.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, no. It was the craziest experience ever. But then I did a song that featured one of the people that was on that movie as well.
That's pretty awesome.
And now we're, like, best friends.
You're like, let's be friends. Okay.
No, like, 5 years later, we reconnected because now he's a producer as well.
Okay.
So last summer, we started working on some tracks, and we've been best friends, like, ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can't knock that.
What kind of, when you move from Toronto to Los Angeles and Hollywood in particular, like, what kind of culture shocky type things did you experience?
Mind blown.
I think everyone in LA is just so...
Be nice now. I'm an Angelino.
I'm containing myself.
No, go for it. No, let loose. No, be honest.
No, honestly, I think people in LA, like, majority of the people are some point... in the entertainment industry.
Right.
And I feel like everyone is just so different, dressing different. They have their own goals. They have their own, like, things that they're interested in. And back home, it's like everyone does the exact same thing.
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, okay, no. I didn't grow up downtown Toronto.
All right, yeah. Give us the real.
I grew up in the suburbs. I grew up in Woodbridge, so everyone was the same. But no, downtown Toronto, there's a lot of diversity with music, different cultures. So, yeah. I mean, it was kind of the same a little bit moving here.
Well, LA's a little bit more diverse than Toronto. Come on, let's be honest. I've been to Toronto. It's a little bit more diverse.
A little bit.
But, yeah. There are a lot of similarities. A lot of movies are being filmed there.
Oh. Yeah,
there is like an entertainment center, in Toronto. So, it's becoming like a mini L.A.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, mini L.A.
Everyone comes to Canada to film their stuff.
And then they go back.
They're like,
all right, it's time to go.
It's cold in this place.
You got to love the weather in L.A.
Oh, I love it. I know you're like, oh my God, why don't I live here? This is the first, like, winter that I was in LA.
And you're like, this is what it's like over here?
I went back home for a week in February.
You wanted to punch yourself in the face.
Oh my God, no, it was the worst week that they had.
Uh-huh. Like, it was a rough winter back.
Oh my God, it was crazy.
I can't do that. I just can't do it.
Last winter, because I was here right before Christmas doing some shopping with my mom and stuff, and then we went back home 2 days before Christmas, and our flight was delayed. When we landed, there was an ice storm, so we had no power, no heat, with negative 20-something degrees Celsius.
God.
No power, nothing.
Oh, we're like Celsius, and you guys use Celsius.
Yeah, that's crazier.
Right.
Yeah, that is crazy.
We're literally like freezing our butts off, and it was 2 days before Christmas, so everyone's freaking out like, oh my God, what are we going to do about the food? What did my dad do? He put all the food in the fridge outside in the snow. And we're like, wow.
He's like, barbecue!
Yeah. So crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I love the weather here.
It's the best.
No, I'm definitely not a
Honestly, I've traveled all over the world. And there's no other place that has weather like this.
It's crazy, though, because people that live here think that whenever it gets, like, super cold, like, they think it's freezing. I've seen people, like, wearing coats and pants. And
it gets cold, though.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, come on.
That's like my spring weather.
Well, yeah. But that's because in, like, Canada, you're, like, hanging out with, like, moose and shit.
Right.
No, but like LA is like this. It's deceiving. It's like you go out, you see the sun outside. You're like, oh, it's gonna be hot. So you just go out in a shirt and t-shirt in the winter, and then it gets cold at night.
You're in the desert.
You're in the desert.
Yeah.
This is a desert. Come on.
After like a long winter, as soon as it starts to get maybe like 5 degrees, 10 degrees Celsius, people start, like, taking off their jackets. Yeah. Everyone's in shorts. We're like, oh, I mean, it's
how,
summer.
That's how it was. I grew up in Pennsylvania. As soon as it hit 40 degrees Fahrenheit, it was shorts and t-shirt.
Quit showing off.
Right. It was shorts and t-shirt. But here, if it's 40 degrees, it is cold as hell.
Yeah.
In LA, we just wear our trunks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can stop.
I'm just kidding. Eddie says the same thing. Let's play another track. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I could play the same one we just listened to or the other instrumental because we only have
two. Oh, we only have two? Oh, I'm sorry. I totally threw you under the bus right there.
I could play the instrumental and I could sing along too.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Why not?
Let's try. I kind of do, actually. Let's foul her beautiful track.
Well, let's talk about real quick. Where are you performing? How often are you gigging? Where in the countries that you perform? Where can we see you?
I performed quite a bit back home since I was younger, and then when I came to LA, the past couple of years I've been performing at, the Viper Room, Whiskey A Go-Go. I did the House of Blues.
That's where I play all the time.
Yeah.
I played the Tiki Bar too.
Where the hell's that?
It's in Orange County.
Never been there.
Really? No. Oh no, it was a cool venue. I have a show coming up.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I have a show coming up on July 29 at Bar 20 inside the Grafton Hotel on Sunset.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a little acoustic thing. But
what time is that?
It's at 7:30, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And so are you accompanied? You say acoustic, so you'll have an acoustic person?
Yeah, I'm going to have one of my friends playing guitar for me.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What are your shows normally? Do you normally have some sort of band or accompaniment of any type?
Oh, when I do acoustic shows, yeah, I have someone accompanying me. Whether it's piano or guitar, but most of the time I do like to do bigger shows, and I'll have a couple dancers with me, and then I perform with
Brian them. Is available.
I'll give you my schedule.
I mean, he was a competitive dancer when he was growing up, he's a little rusty.
I'm a little rusty. I'm starting to book gigs again.
But you know what? He is available.
Right. I'm doing a lot of senior living facilities now.
Do you do the choreography with them?
Yeah.
So you have a choreographer then, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Is that difficult to sing and dance at the same time? Does your voice
She's like, I lip sync, actually.
Yeah. Is your voice
affected? No, I'm not on that level yet.
You're like, I'm going to work out for you.
He's not famous enough to lip sync yet.
No, I'm still working my way up there. But no, I mean, it is very difficult. I'm not even going to lie. It's really tough to not sound winded.
Right. And that's what I mean.
Just dancing alone.
Yeah, no, totally.
Just dancing alone, even if it's not choreography. I always wonder about you're out of breath.
You know those little mics that are attached? Yeah. I'm always wondering how they don't sound
right?
Yeah, I feel like I would accidentally inhale one of those.
But that's the thing, when you rehearse with a choreographer who specializes in performances like that, you obviously practice what parts you're not going to sing. You might take a breath or have the background vocals on maybe the chorus or something to catch your breath, and then maybe not dance full out the entire time, have little parts here and there.
Oh, so you don't give 100% is what you're saying.
Not dancing the entire time. Maybe you'll do a little bit of the choreography and then walk towards one of the sides and then maybe sing to the audience or something. And then,
smart.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's cool if you don't want to give 100% to your audience.
I give 150% to my
I'm kidding. So does it change from stage to stage, basically what you deliver artistically for your audience?
It depends on the size of the venue and how long the set is. So, yeah. But most of my audiences have been 15, 16 to 20s.
And what do you think? Have you ever looked out into the audience and been that person does not belong in this audience?
Right.
What is that? Why is there a 55-year-old dude reading comics? And his name is Brian.
I am not 55.
I'm just kidding.
I look younger.
No,
than
you
my
do.
Age.
You do. You do. It's true.
I mean, luckily, the performances that I've done would be on stage with the lights shining on my face, so I can't see.
Yeah.
That's why, I prefer singing in front of larger crowds, just because
it's easier to perform
is,
in front of
yeah, you can't
in front
see
of a lot of people.
The light's blinding you,
yeah.
So
yeah.
You're really just
is
in
it,
your own.
Is it
world.
Weird if friends show up or you have family? Is that extra weird if you have people that you know in the audience? Because I feel
it's
like
it's not
I would...
weird. It's so nerve wracking.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I really can't mess up. It's like, if it's just in front of strangers, okay, I don't want to mess up. But right. if I do, I'm never going to see them again. But my family, I got to go back home to them. My friends, I got to be like, this is what I worked so hard for. And they're probably going to be like, what the heck is that?
Now, you know, like being in a band, it's like we perform, you know, big shows and we do little shows.
Right.
Has there ever been a point where you went in going thinking it was going to be a big performance and then you got there and you were like, oh my God, we're in the middle of a shopping mall and there's 13 people in here and we're going to totally rock out.
Yeah, but you still have to give 150%. Yeah.
Those are the hardest. To
those
me,
are the hardest. Those are the hardest shows. You're like, yeah. you're perform like, in front of two people. You're like, this is what I worked so hard for my entire life.
The ones that, the guys on the like the Santa Monica Promenade and stuff, those guys, that's a whole other like skill to have, I think. Like, to be able to play there and like people are just sort of walking by, but you gotta stay focused. Yeah, and, like,
but
still
you know what?
Shit.
My vocal coach back home told me that no matter how big the audience is, you never know who's watching and you never know who they know or
look, Chuck D's father-in-law was in the audience.
Right.
You never know. So that's why I always try to give my 150% no matter what, because there could be an A&R.
Well, and you know what? At the end of the day, you do it because you love it.
Exactly.
You know, it's like this is what you love to do. So it's important to like perform because you love it. You know what I mean? Now, what would you say? Like, let's say I'm throwing some hardball questions at
you. I like it. That's very good.
So let's say I'm an A&R. What's your demographic of your fans? Like, who are we targeting with your music?
Like I said, between the ages of 15 to I've seen
boys, girls, skaters, nerds.
Everyone. Yeah. If you go on my Twitter, you can see I have a lot of Brazilian fans.
Whoa, that's cool.
I have a lot of Brazilian
fans.
That's
amazing.
People think I look Latina. But also because I'm friends with, like, Fifth Harmony, that girl group from the X Factor. So a lot of their fans, I guess, started looking at my stuff. And they're very supportive. So it's great. My fan base just keeps growing.
Are you very active on social media?
I'm very active.
Oh,
yes? You did ask me this before.
Well, don't say that. This was supposed to be very spontaneous.
No, but because I wanted to continue the conversation.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I'm, like, addicted to Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter. But now, Periscope.
That's, like,
Periscope,
a new thing.
It's a new thing.
Live streaming.
It's going to be a new thing.
You know, some new things come out and then they fizzle out, but Periscope is badass.
I think it's so cool that, like, on Periscope, it's kind of like Snapchat-ish. Like, you can post, like, a little video, but it's, like, people all over the world can tune in and discover you.
Yeah, and you're broadcasting live. Yeah. And they can ask you questions. They type in little questions.
Yeah.
You can answer your questions.
They
I do.
They can, like it and send a little cards.
Yeah, I'm a chef, so I do, every Friday, I do, it's called Ask a Vegan Chef. So, like, for 15 minutes every Friday night, I pop on and say, Ask a Vegan Chef.
Yeah.
And then anybody who's following me, or it also goes out to my Twitter followers, and they just come and ask me questions about food or whatever. And I actually just started doing a game show on Periscope.
Oh, wow.
Where I do, like, food trivia, and then people can win prizes. Just I ask a question, and
they
answer.
What are the prizes?
I have a sponsor.
I want to know.
I have a sponsor. I have a sponsor. It's a company called Beyond Meat. They make a plant-based meats.
Quit dilly-dallying. Just tell me what the prize is.
You get coupons for free stuff, and you get hats and shirts and stuff. That, you know, they send you, like, a prize pack, and I just ask some questions, and then, you know.
That's awesome.
There's a winner. So, like, there's all this crazy stuff, and like, do you like, sing live for people ever, or?
Yeah, and a lot of the times, because, I mean, I'm just starting to get used to using Periscope, so now, like, I've done, like, a couple of the red carpet events that I've done, like, people will be like, oh my God, that is so cool. Is that in Hollywood? Oh my God, wow, red carpet in real life. So it's like, I try to, like, do that. And, like, when I'm in the studio recording and stuff too, and then I try to do, like,
what are your Twitter handles and all your social media? You should.
The sexy vegan. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Not you.
Oh, sorry.
Not you.
Not the sexy vegan on Twitter.
That is so funny. My Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Periscope, Instagram.
And the next thing that's coming.
And whatever's coming out, it's Alexa Fair Music.
Yeah. Spell it out.
AlexaFairMusic. Music. Yes.
M-I-C. No, just
right? I almost screwed that one up.
You almost said Mickey. Just kidding. All right, because every single artist that's come through here has done at least two live performances, I want you just to do a verse of another song you haven't performed a cappella. Throwing her under the bus. Can you do? I know you have songs that you can do.
Yeah.
I just want you to sing so our listeners can go, damn, that girl can sing.
Actually, you know what? No, I do like covering songs.
Yeah, do a cover.
Okay, I'll do one of my favorite songs.
What are you going to do?
Stay by Rihanna.
Very good one.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I'm like obsessed with her. All along it was a fever, a cold sweat, hot-headed believer. I threw my hands in the air, said, show me something. You said, if you dare, come a little closer. Round and around and around and around we go. Oh, now tell me now, tell me now, tell me now, you know. Not really sure what to feel about it. Something in the way you move makes me feel like I can't live without it. It takes me all the way. I want you to stay. I want you to stay.
Yeah! That was awesome! And let me point out, like, it ain't easy to sing a cappella.
Oh, it's not.
And stay in tune.
Uh-huh.
And in time. That was awesome.
Thank you.
It's not easy for you guys.
I've been hard on you tonight. I've been like, yo, you new artist, huh?
Right? All right,
let's see. Let's see what you got. It makes you better. It makes you better.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. You hit it out of the park. Alexa, thank you for being our awesome guest.
Thank you very much for
having me. One more time with your website and your Twitter handles and all that stuff so everybody can follow you.
Yes, all my social media, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Instagram, Periscope, Alexa Fair Music, and my website is alexafairmusic.com.
Spell it out real quick.
AlexaFerrMusic.
You almost messed it up.
I almost messed it up again.
No, seriously, it's amazing that you did what you did. You came out here. You had no idea what to expect. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
Brian, thank you for filling in. Why don't you plug your websites one more time?
You can find me at thesexyvegan.com. I do a food blog. I do videos. I am mostly most active now on Periscope, Twitter.
Porn.
Sometimes. But yeah, like Periscope is fantastic. Snapchat, I'm really into Snapchat. I like the immediacy of it.
Oh, yeah,
like
follow me on Snapchat too.
Yeah, Snapchat. You missed
Alex Fair Music.
Yeah. So, this guy needs to get with the. Yeah, I look at your Twitter page.
Snapchat. You know what? You know what? I stopped after Twitter. Snapchat, I was like, I ain't doing anything after Twitter.
I'll tell you what, you figure out Snapchat, like, it's easy to come up with, but you're a funny dude.
Yeah.
You know, it's. The thing about social media, it's like seeing stuff through someone else's eyes.
Yeah.
So like,
but I don't want that. I want to see stuff through my own eyes, just for my eyes.
Well then,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'll consider it.
Telling you, man, it's cool. It's fun. It's what all the kids are doing these days.
Well, thank you, Brian, for being a co-host. You're always a pleasure. And you're just an awesome dude.
Oh yes, I've written cookbooks. They're called the Sexy Vegan Cookbook.
Yeah, check them out. Check them out, and they're good recipes.
Thank you.
I have tried a couple.
That's true.
Indeed. Well, I'm Nikki Carulla. We'll see you here next week. Thank you. Wake up, Hollywood!